The Holy Gospel according to St. John, beginning in the second chapter. Please stand. On the third day, a wedding took place in Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Dear woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My time has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used for the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink, but you have saved the best till now." This, the first of his miraculous signs, Jesus performed in Cana in Galilee. He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Going to talk about weddings this morning, and it was reported that a worker at a 7-Eleven loved her job so much that she married her fiancé in the asphalt parking lot outside of her 7-Eleven on 7-Eleven, July 11th, carrying her bouquet in a super big gulp cup. At the reception, hot dogs and Slurpees were served as the wedding meal. In the state of Washington, a wedding was celebrated 18 stories atop the Tacoma Narrows Suspension Bridge, soaring over Puget Sound. A couple in Brussels, Belgium, were lifted on a platform by a crane up 160 feet in the air for their wedding ceremony. They were joined by an officiant and about 20 guests. The musicians were on another platform, equally 160 feet in the air. After their vows, they made it official by bungee jumping over the side of the platform. A couple in New York City got married inside a 120,000-gallon shark tank. The bride wore a white wetsuit, and the groom wore a traditional black wetsuit to take their vows at Atlantis Marine World in Riverhead, New York. Both were experienced divers, and they were protected by a steel cage as the sharks and eels and a giant grouper circled around them. They also wore scuba gear and mics that broadcast their words to each other as well as to family and friends. They said their I do's over a radio transmitter with an officiant who did not get in the tank. One couple from Maine met at their town's transfer station, locally known as the dump. He had just started working there. She had bought her first recyclables for him to process. They were married there while they were standing in a bucket loader. It's a tractor with a square wide bucket connected to the end of two booms to scoop up loose material from the ground, such as dirt, sand or gravel, and in this case trash, and move it from one place to another. Town folk donated returnable bottles to build up a honeymoon fund. The couple found ways to incorporate recycled objects into their wedding outfits. They said, "I do," at the dump. The syndrome is called Vegas vows. Weddings that take place in exceptional or unconventional places. After all, does it really matter where weddings take place? Apparently, many newlyweds and mothers don't think so. In today's gospel text, the wedding at Cana was not exceptional for its location. But there was a minor stir when the wine ran out, and that's when Jesus' mother Mary intervened. She was attending a wedding that had run out of wine. She came to Jesus and asked him to do something to help, and he tells the servants to fill 6 jars with water and take them to the director of the feast. The director of the wedding tastes what is given to him, and he's astonished when he realizes that the wine is of the finest quality. The point is that the gospel text itself tells us the intention of this miracle. Jesus did this, the first of his signs, in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Interesting to note that Jesus was not interested in recruiting faith in the members of the wedding party or the steward of the feast. Even though the servants knew the providence of the wine, Jesus didn't perform the miracle to convince them. His only interest was to reveal his true inner being to 6 men. At this point in time, there were only 6 disciples. The sign he performed achieved its purpose, for his disciples, so we heard, believed in him. Truth be told, most weddings, as lovely as they are forgettable. Certainly not your own, and not ones that are on bridges or high in the sky or at the city dump. The unforgettable weddings usually have an unpredictable facet, like a fainting bride or a cold-footed no-show groom or a bride who fell in the mud right outside the church door or a smiling minister who repeatedly and confidently calls the bride and groom by the wrong name or has Elvis as a singer. Jesus, his mother, and his friends attended an unforgettable wedding in Cana. Because we're still talking about it over 2,000 years later. Apparently, it was just your typical traditional wedding with an average and pleasant reception until the wine gave out. Customarily, the better wine was served first at Galilean wedding receptions. And this makes a lot of sense if you think about it. You serve the good wine first when the palate is fresh and expectant. And after a few pints, who cares? Both the guests and their taste buds are dull, and the chief stuff can be brought out for the final slide into drunkenness. But to run out of wine before its time, that was unforgettable. That would have caused a minor humiliation for the host if the problem was not hastily fixed. In short, the wedding could have been a social disaster. But for whatever reason, Mary got involved in the wine problem. We don't know why. Maybe it was the wedding of a relative. Maybe Mary thought that marriages were worth celebrating. We can almost hear Mary saying, "Don't worry about it. I'll talk to my son. He can fix anything." Here we have an ancient version of the Kent family from Smallville who have a teenage super Clark Kent around to help them with their heavy lifting. Of course, Clark Kent was Superman. So Mary tells Jesus they're out of wine. And Jesus replies, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me?" In other words, why don't you tell someone who cares? Talk to the hand because the ears aren't listening. But they really were. There are some ancient stories in some apocryphal gospels called the Arabic Gospel of the Infancy of the Savior that describe how Jesus, the ever-dutiful son, helped in the family carpentry business. According to the infancy gospel, the young Jesus worked with his carpenter dad, who apparently was not very good. He wasn't such a good carpenter, so every time the project of their workshop was the wrong size, which apparently happened fairly often, Joseph asked Jesus to fix it. Jesus, according to the tale, would wave his hand over the finished piece, thus miraculously stretching it or shrinking it to the right size, satisfying Joseph and the customer. Even if this story or other stories like it in the New Testament Apocrypha or mythology, it's reasonable to assume that Mary, his mother, knew Jesus could fix things like nobody else could. Otherwise, she never would have suggested that Jesus fix the wine problem. So, she led Jesus to his first miracle. Fill 6 large ceramic jars with water, dip a cup, take the cup to the wedding coordinator or steward, let him taste it. And suddenly there were 120 to 180 gallons of the best wine ever. Certainly the guests tasted the quality improvement in the wine because they speculated everyone serves the good wine first and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now. So what does this all mean? Jesus needed to show people, those that were willing to believe, that despite being human, he was also divine. That he was, in fact, Jehovah himself in a human form. People then would be able to worship him and love him fully. It means that the wedding at Cana is where Jesus revealed his glory and where his disciples first believed in him. So what does that mean for us? It means that if Jesus can change water into wine, he can change us too. This is the miracle of transformation. As one wife put it after her alcoholic husband encountered the transforming power of the resurrected Christ, Jesus changed beer into furniture, she says. That is, the money that had been spent on beer was now being spent on the family. Transformation had occurred. Jesus can turn sour into the sweet. Jesus can turn bitterness into peace. Jesus can turn hatred into love. Jesus can turn anger into joy. The wedding at Cana is a metaphor for new transformational beginnings. A trip to the dump isn't necessary. Wedding vows said while skydiving or in a shark tank are irrelevant. In fact, the whole Vegas vow syndrome is irrelevant. The disciples of Jesus believed in him. So should we. Amen.